Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, everybody. Friday edition of Clay and Buck starts right now all across the country. Appreciate you being with us here. And we have more on, yes, you know it's coming, Trump indictment watch to share with you. Probably put a little countdown clock on screens on news channels across the country. President firing off some more thoughts. They're definitely thoughts on what's going on there. And other legal analysis coming in. The overwhelming weight of it is, unless you are so blinded by anti-Trump hatred that you just refuse to see reality, every legal analyst worth a darn knows that this anti-Trump effort in New York City is completely insane. In fact, even the honest lib legal analysts out there who will say that they hate Trump and he's, you know, destroying the country, they'll say, look, this is absurd, but it could be next week. We know it's not going to be today because when the grand jury meets, we'll have some updates on that, some additional information to share with you. We also have an incident in Syria. You know, there's roughly, well, it's something like 800 or 900 U.S. troops. We don't know the exact number. That's just the Pentagon's general number that they give us. And also hundreds of contractors additionally in northeastern Syria, effectively a small anti-ISIS resurgence force that's meant to be there to prevent the Islamic State. Remember all that from coming back. We lost a U.S. Contractor in a strike there, indirect fire strike with an Iranian backed militia behind it. We have responded. We'll give you updates on that, but we took a casualty in a place where a lot of people forget that we even have U.S. presence and they're still active kinetic operations, as in people shooting at each other, often with indirect fire, but that is happening every month. It's happened dozens of times in the last year alone, so we could do a little national security analysis on that. And we have the DeSantis sit down with Piers Morgan to discuss, Clay. We can get into some of what I think came out of that one. But first, I speaking of DeSantis, I want to spend a little time on what the current left wing of the Democrat Party is throwing a fit about. And it is, we all remember the parental rights and education bill, which they tried to call the Don't Say Gay bill. And then Ron DeSantis had those memorable exchanges with reporters where they would say, what do you think about the Don't Say Gay bill? He's like, well, first of all, nowhere in the bill does it even say the word gay. It's about sexual orientation and sexual orientation indoctrination, and particularly around transgender issues. Like, do you need to talk to third graders and second graders about transgenderism? Right. And in Florida, they say you don't need to talk to them about that. Well, now they're looking to expand this. There's a big mandate for Republicans in Florida under Governor DeSantis. We all know that. And they're looking to expand it perhaps all the way up to 12th grade. So no grade school through high school indoctrination discussion. And we can get into some of what those details are. Clay, unsurprisingly, the Democrat left is completely freaking out about this. AOC saying, this is clip 5, it's fascism.
They are asking the Republican Party to keep culture wars out of classrooms. Our children need urgent and aggressive educational solutions. The American Library Association coming out against this Republican proposal. When we talk about progressive values, I can say what my progressive value is, and that is freedom over fascism.
Can I just say, Clay, this Democrats are going to lose on this one. Trump and DeSantis should lean in on this one. That's what I see happening.
It's not even AOC. I watched some of the reactions to this on the House floor, and let's play a couple more of these, because some of these people have completely lost their minds over this. Like, yeah. Hakeem Jeffries, I think we have this audio, says that they don't want kids to learn about the Holocaust, which is pretty crazy to even argue based on any of this. This is cut 8. Listen to this.
Extreme MAGA Republicans don't want the children of America to learn about the Holocaust.
But what? That is completely made up. We had, first of all, we had nothing to do with creating the Holocaust, right? Like, we actually rescued everyone who was a victim of the Holocaust, by and large, in Germany and all throughout Europe when we liberated that entire continent from Nazi control. But this is just so unhinged. So, and there's another one of these that I thought, this is crazy. Here's Hakeem Jeffries again, saying, and again, I think this is important, and I would encourage anyone who is a Republican staffer, anyone who is a congressperson, senator, that the way this conversation is taking place with the idea of bans, we're not banning anything. We're just discussing what's appropriate inside of school to be taught to school children, which is, to me, the essence of what parents should be deciding as it pertains to public education. But if you are listening to us right now and you think it's wildly important that your kids read about, and let's play cut six here, and you think it's incredibly important that your kids read books about gender identity and trans kids, no one is stopping you from sharing those books with your kids. Here's cut six. Despite what they're saying, this is not a ban. This is not some sort of cancel culture universe. This is just a discussion about what's appropriate inside of schools.
What else do they want to ban? They want to ban a book called Melissa, a book describing, in very personal terms, the experience of a trans girl beginning to understand her identity. What's so dangerous about that? I was taught in my religion, growing up in the Cornerstone Baptist Church, that we are all God's children. Shouldn't we learn about all of God's children? That's what my religion teaches me.
I mean, again, it's not a banning. It's not a banning. It's just whether or not it's in a school.
Since he brought up his Baptist church, I'm just wondering, what would, if we went and asked Baptist ministers, what do you think about talking about pansexuality and transgenderism to seven-year-olds? I have a feeling the ministers would generally think that that is inappropriate, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Buck, it's not, to your point earlier, what I think Democrats learned very rapidly is how out of touch they are, not only with the Republican and independent parents in terms of what their thoughts are on this issue. But remember, Democrats actually supported this legislation all over the nation. So Democrats are fighting a battle that is not in any way supported even by their own party. And this is where I think they are ripe for a counterattack. We need to use the word banned and attack it more aggressively because it isn't actually occurring. The book is still out there. Anybody can buy it. They can get it for their kids. They can go rent it at a library, just not in a school.
Right. Well, this would be like saying that, you know, if you tried to prevent there from being a, they don't really exist anymore, but as a New Yorker, I remember that they were, it was just such a blight. It was such a degradation of the city landscape. You had all these like, adult film stores all over the place, you know, with, you know, neon XXX and everything. If the argument, now you could say whether or not you want a van, that's a whole other conversation. But if you say they can't be within 100 yards of a school.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing as saying you're banning, you know, adult video content, right?
Yes.
But their entire argument here hinges on a lie when it comes to the ban, which is why they're pushing so hard, which is why the media is so, you know, collective on this issue. They're all working with one voice as much as they can because they're going to have to convince the public of something that is just flatly untrue. This isn't a, we think this is better for this, they think this is better for that. They're lying about what's happening so they can stop the real thing that's happening. And that's what I think we should also focus in on a little bit, Clay, which is the indoctrination of kids into what does seem increasingly to be, obviously, a transgender ideology cult. I mean, when you have little kids who are being told that they're going to be treated specially, that they're going to be elevated, small children who do not possess the cognitive ability to think through this stuff, nor the life wisdom to understand the long-term impact. And you have adults who want to be seen as heroes by their leftist peers. Why do they want to go after young kids so badly? Why do they want to have drag queen story hour? Why do they want to have these, you know, drag shows for small children? Because they want the indoctrination to start before fully formed minds are actually what they're dealing with. And that is where people have said enough is enough, including Democrats in Florida, by the way.
Democrats nationwide. And that whole drag queen or drag, whatever it is, drag shows, I can't get out of my mind the way that the reaction is. And I think men out there, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, I think if you're a Republican, Democrat, independent, you totally get this. Because if you watch, Buck, all those viral videos, it's always moms, by and large, going to these drag shows with their little kids. And I think it makes men cringe because a lot of men automatically think, okay, if I took a kid to a strip show, like this is not even borderline level behavior. And we talked with, I thought Carol Markowitz did a really good job of explaining the rationale in her mind for what's going on. It's that so many of these women have been convinced that they have to be all in every degree on the LGBTQ plus whatever it is agenda, that they've lost their ability to make rational decisions. Hey, I don't know that the 4-year-old needs to be walking around with dollar bills, putting it in the G-string of a transgender individual, just like they shouldn't be doing that if it were a normal strip show. Like a dad's out there cringe because a lot of men have been to strip shows before. And the idea that you would take a kid to one of those for a heterosexual woman who was walking around in a, you know, pasties and a thong is so crazy. Yet for women out there, these drag shows, it's become commonplace. And to your point, it's just such a strange and outlandish direction to go that I think a lot of people out there are caught totally unaware because it is such a radical move.
Well, because I think that what they've done, what the transgender movement now, I'm not speaking about individuals, speaking about the movement, what the movement has done is co-opt the very effective machinery of the LGBTQ plus activism, right? There's a lot of money, a lot of organizations, and so that's a useful tool for whether you're AOC or any other Democrat. You like having that on your side. They've got a lot of funding, a lot of backing, they're media savvy. But through the process of using that entity for this issue, they've convinced a lot of the Democrat base that this stuff isn't actually crazy that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so they're caught in this place where they're going to lose politically at the national level if they keep doing this. So what they're doing is lying about what's happening because the alternative is to say things that's going to hurt them nationally or tell their left-wing base and the activist community, sorry, guys, we can't go along with this anymore. And they don't want to do that. They don't want to lose that political advantage and those funding dollars.
Yeah, we'll talk about this maybe in the second hour. The track and field group worldwide has banned trans athletes. And I think one of the sort of tip of the spear related issues here is trans, that is men who decide to identify as women, being able to be involved in athletics. And it feels like, Buck, they're losing that battle. And we'll talk about it some in the second hour, but it feels like here as well, the agenda has gone as far as it can. If you spent any time studying K-12 education in our nation, you know we're in more trouble every day. By and large, priorities of our school systems are out of whack with far too much political correctness. If anyone understands education, it's the faculty and administration at Hillsdale College, led by their president, Dr. Larry Arne. He recently wrote a smart piece on this topic in a recent issue of Imprimis. That's Hillsdale's monthly publication mailed to more than 6 million households. Piece is entitled Education as a Battlefield. It's a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education, explains why parents and teachers, not bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our kids are learning. Don't miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Sign up to get a copy of Imprimis, and Hillsdale will send you additional copies so you can share with family and friends. Visit clayandbuckforhillsdale.com, the easiest and fastest way to sign up and get your copies. Fight leftist indoctrination with knowledge by going to clayandbuckforhillsdale.com. That's clayandbuckforhillsdale.com to get your copies of Imprimis today.
Truth seeking, reality telling. The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD. The number one fantasy sports app in America right now is Prize Picks. No surprise. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. I'm loving the app. Unlike other apps on the Prize Picks app, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports that you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, and that's more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. It's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states. Now, Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app today and open your account. You can use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app, use the promo code Clay to get set up and get that deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, hey, I'm covered, no worries. Not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance.
And that can be a lot of money for your family, but how do you know you're not being overbilled? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
So unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate?
HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance.
When your medical claim comes in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million.
Bottom line, insurance isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it before you see another healthcare provider. HealthLock.com. HealthLock.com.
Third hour of Clay and Buck starts right now, everybody. Thanks for rolling with us. Appreciate you being here. If you want to chat with us in real time, 800-282-2882 on those phone lines. Also, don't forget, you can email us directly by going to clayandbuck.com. Become a VIP subscriber, and we'll be looking at some of those emails in the back half of this hour as well. We are still looking at next week, the possibility of a Trump indictment looming. If this does not happen, and by the way, I didn't say this in the first hour, Clay. I meant to that, you know, because there are people like this who are left of center very clearly. I mean, I remember debating Alan Dershowitz on gun control on CNN. By the way, he doesn't want you to have guns. Like, period. I mean, that's his. So he's a Democrat, everybody. He says, but obviously a very, very smart guy, knows the law very well. He says, I'm not a Trump voter, but this is laughable. This looming indictment over a porn star payoff is the most ridiculously weak, contorted case I've ever seen. And D.A. Bragg has disgraced his office. Merely the consideration of this has Dershowitz coming out and saying this is absolutely insane. By the way, Trump. Oh boy. Oh boy. Do you see this? Shares chilling picture. Now, okay. There's a Daily Mail headline, and I just want to be clear. This is their interpretation from the Truth Social post of Donald Trump over this. Have you seen this one, Clay?
I saw. Yeah. I was looking through, Trump's most recent, comments, and, cause I saw this story getting a lot of, headlines, and I was curious to see how much I thought there was some validity to it, but fire away.
So here's where, I mean, basically you got a photo of Alvin Bragg with his, just standing at a podium, pretty standard photo. You got a photo. You know what? Can we link to this guy's up at clayandbuck.com so everybody can go and check this one out, just so you can see the photo for yourself. We can just put the Truth Social post out there. You know, it's interesting. The value of Truth Social is now, well, I mean, yeah, it's a no speech interruption and censorship. I mean, there's a bunch of things you could argue, but a big value across the media landscape is that if you want to see Trump's statements, you gotta be on this platform. That's the only, he is not on Twitter. I think he's back on Facebook, but people are using Truth Social to see what the latest is from the president. Anyway, he's got this photo up where he's holding a baseball bat and kind of making a wise guy face. And this is how it is being, this is how it is being interpreted by the Daily Mail. Trump shares chilling picture threatening Manhattan DA with a baseball bat while warning death and destruction will come if degenerate psychopath charges him in Stormy Daniels hush money case. Okay. Now, I don't think all the pearl clutching over the photo of the bat, you know, I'll leave that to people, whether they really think this is a threat or if, you know, Trump is trying to be funny in his account. People can argue about that. But I don't know, he's so in the right on this issue in general on whether or not he should be indicted. It's so obvious that I sit here and I want to say to myself, why give anybody anything to fight back with at this stage when I feel like he's about to high step into the end zone on this issue, one way or the other, indictment or no indictment, because he's in the right here. You know, so this Truth Social post, I know that we'll forget about it by Monday, but I look at this and I'm like, come on, Trump, you're going to win this one.
Yeah. The thing that I think is most interesting about the week that we've had since Saturday when Trump said he thought he was going to be indicted. First of all, I think it's given unbelievable amounts of firepower to Trump's 2024 campaign. And Trump is going to be on, Sean Hannity's on with us after every day after our show ends. Trump's going to be on Hannity on Monday, and they're doing an hour-long Trump-Hannity special, is my understanding. And I believe coming out of that Monday Fox News appearance, because Buck, correct me if I'm wrong, Trump basically hasn't been on Fox News for months.
6 months.
6 months.
6 months. He hasn't appeared on Fox News.
Which is, I mean, if you compare that with Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis or Mike Pompeo, I mean, I don't know what the total number of times that those guys would have been on Fox News, but it's extraordinarily far more common. To me, next week is going to be the best week of Trump's 2024 campaign, because this past week he has garlanded, to me, a lot of support from people out there who are not particularly affiliated. We told you this months ago. Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, whoever else runs, Mike Pence, I don't think any of them have a prayer. This is DeSantis versus Trump. And if you look at the polls, Trump has, since November, been elevating to a large extent. And the DeSantis campaign has made the decision that they're not going to announce until the Florida legislature session is over. And by the time that happens, he's going to be behind, meaning DeSantis, fairly substantially. Now, let me say this. National polls really don't matter that much. The question is, what's going to happen in Iowa and what's going to happen in New Hampshire? And how much support is there going to be for Trump in those two states? Because the amount of attention that will get in January and February of next year will, in substantial measure, change the trajectory of the election. And I just look at it and think, if he gets indicted, this thing may be over before we ever really get into a campaign, because I don't think people are not going to support Trump once he gets indicted. He's going to skyrocket like he did after Mar-a-Lago. And then is DeSantis, or anybody else for that matter, going to be able to measure a real attack if he does, as I expect, skyrocket in the event of his indictment? Does that make sense to you? Start to look at the months ahead, DeSantis is going to have to come back. It's like he's down three touchdowns.
Well, first of all,
to start his campaign.
You know, it's easy to forget a few things. One is the polls for Trump after 2022 were abysmal. Whether you think that
Correct.
It was Trump's fault or not, a lot of we're talking Republicans now, a lot of Republican registered voters were saying that Kerry Lake, Herschel Walker, Doug Mastriano, you know, you go down this list, they were blaming Trump for that. People, rightly or wrongly,
yeah.
Please don't, you know, I'm just saying that was what the polls were reflecting at that time. People have moved on from that. Honestly, a lot of people, I think, have just largely forgotten about it. And now we're at a phase where Trump is in, and Trump is a candidate for president, and there's a governor that we all think is going to get him, but he's not in yet.
Yeah.
So there's also that. I mean, it's very early, plus you have somebody who hasn't even announced yet, and so we're in this weird space. That all said, the good news with all of this is that the other side is, it looks increasingly clear, our assessment of the Democrat side of the House is accurate.
Yeah.
So you have, for example, the Reuters piece that just came out, which, I mean, the headline is "Tethered Together, Biden and Harris Move Toward 2024 Re-Election Run." What it should say, if there were honest headlines, is Biden doesn't even want to do this again, but he knows Kamala has no shot.
Yeah.
No chance. Okay, here's where they get into. This is the gentle way that Reuters, by the way, okay, this is like all journalism. Reuters is explaining to the Democrat audience in this country that it has, hey guys, it's got to be Biden again, because here's what they say. While the pair have a good working relationship, Democratic sources say Biden has frustrations about some of her work. He is also convinced that neither Harris nor any other Democratic hopefuls would be able to beat former President Donald Trump if he is the Republican nominee, a factor that has influenced Biden's inclination to run again, according to a former White House official. If he did not think she was capable, he would not have picked her, they said next. But it is a question of consistently rising to the occasion, trying to clean this up. Okay. What have we been saying all along, folks? Their plan, I think quite clearly, was Biden for a term,
yep.
Steps down, Kamala gets to actually take over, run for re-election as the incumbent, because as we all know, you're basically, the taxpayers are funding the whole campaign on top of your campaign. You get to go everywhere, you're the president, you make whatever speeches you want, etc. This is them telling everybody, hey guys, we know the woke left-wing base of the Democrat Party was all excited for Kamala to take over, but Joe has to be the guy, because even Joe knows Kamala has no chance.
That's right. And what I would say in general for everybody to keep in mind out here, what has changed? This election, basically 44 states are off the board, in my opinion, right? You look at 2024, I think there are 44 states, maybe 43, that are completely off the board, and you know who's going to win, right? Now, maybe I'm wrong. Let's say Glenn Youngkin is the vice president and Glenn Youngkin delivers Virginia. Well, then we're going to have basically a landslide, right? States that we already know how they're going to turn out. They're going to be red or they're going to be blue. Seven states. Like, really, when you want to get down to the nitty gritty, 2024, even as we sit here 18 months, whatever the heck it is, out from the next election, tell me New Hampshire, Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and Pennsylvania. You tell me who wins those seven states, I'll tell you who the president's going to be. And my question for all of you to think about, what has happened since 2020 that is going to change in the direction of Republicans, all seven of those states, which we lost? We need to win two or three of those states, probably, from a mathematical perspective. Maybe Georgia, because Brian Kemp has been so successful, although we just saw Herschel Walker lose to Warnock, so there's a little bit of nervousness there. But other than Georgia, maybe Nevada, because you just got a Republican governor in, Lombardo there. What makes you think that those seven states are going to move in a different direction in 2024 than they did in 2020? Well, one answer is Biden has been so bad that he's not going to be able to win these states like he did in 20. Back of your mind, 43 states are decided. Most of us do not live in states where our vote is really going to matter, because we already know who's going to win. New Hampshire, Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania. Republicans have to flip three of those states, basically, in order to be elected president. Do you feel like that is moving in the direction where it's going to happen. 800-282-2882. We do have some good news I'm going to hit you with as we continue to roll, Buck. This result there that I think people are going to enjoy as we head into the weekend.
We support worthy causes here on the program, one of them being the good work done by the women and men providing invaluable services at the Preborn Network Clinics. In the course of their 17-year history, they've rescued over 200,000 babies' lives by loving mothers with unplanned pregnancies and introducing them to the precious life growing inside of them through ultrasound. They'll tell you what occurs every day is a miracle. It's hard to argue with that. Once a mother hears that heartbeat, the majority of the time, she will choose life. But without the ultrasound, the odds are not in favor of life. The ultrasound itself, that process, is a game changer. We've partnered with Preborn to help rescue thousands of babies this year. And we do that by helping with donations. One ultrasound is just $28. Every tax-deductible donation, big or small, helps to save the unborn. Preborn receives no government funding. They're completely dependent on us, members of the pro-life community. For just $28, you can help save a life. To donate, use your cell phone and dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, say baby. Or go to preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK. Sponsored by Preborn.
He's Buck Sexton. He's Clay Travis. Together, they're breathing sanity into an insane world.
You know, one thing for all of our political frustrations with what's going on day to day here, you shouldn't be able to be subject to being made an after-the-fact felon by a bureaucratic diktat, right? You shouldn't be able to be told that, oh, actually, what we told you before that was fine, we've decided now you're a felon unless you do the following things. I'm not talking about Congress. Congress can change laws. That's, you know, that's the way it is. I'm talking about a federal agency, in this case, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Now, I don't know how many in this audience have them, but I have a feeling
a lot of them.
This goes to the issue of the pistol brace. All the gun folks out there, and I always had to put out this proviso. I'm doing this extemporaneously, so if I mess up any part of this, don't yell at me. But I know about this issue because of what's going on these days with people that I know who are in the firearms community. If you have a pistol brace, the ATF wants you to turn it. It wants you, is demanding, based on a new Biden, of course, era interpretation of ATFE, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, explosives regulations. You have to turn in the pistol brace, Clay, or you have to register it, which people don't want to do for pretty obvious reasons, and get a tax stamp for it the same way you currently do for getting a suppressor, more commonly known to a lot of people as a silencer, although it's not silent. And this is all about a pistol brace was invented so that individuals with actually a disability would be able to fire more easily. And so that's how, and then people bought them because they like them. They like to use them. It just became a more general, millions of people have them. So they've decided, Biden's ATF has decided that probably a big group of people, even in this audience right now, by the end of May, as it stands, will be felons. It's felons crazy. If they still have this. 10 years ago, they said it was fine. Jim Jordan, we like our man Jim Jordan here, he was fired up today over this issue of the pistol brace ban, or I shouldn't say ban, the new regulation, making it into a felony if you don't go through the hoops that they've newly established. But here's Jim Jordan on it. Play it.
Congressional Research Services has said anywhere between 10 and 40 million Americans own stabilizing braces.
Unless you remove the brace, lengthen the barrel, turn in or destroy your firearm, or register your gun with this government that you know you can trust, you know you can trust, unless you do those four things, what happens? What are you?
A felon.
A felon. A felon for something 10 years ago they said was just fine, that you built a business on, and the business started because you wanted to help a man who put the uniform of his country on his back and served our country and was injured, and now they're going to put you out of business and make people felons.
Millions of people, Clay, at risk of being declared felons by diktat of Biden's ATF.
And it's ex post facto law. I think that's what strikes a lot of people very, very it's very unfair to have something that is legal, allow people to purchase it, and then after they have legally obtained something, to come in on the backside of this and say, and oh, by the way, you're now potentially a felon based on something that you purchased that was legal beforehand, right?
That, well, they also know there are so many in Clay that if they allowed grandfathering it, which has happened with other regulation changes, well, now you've got 40 million of these in circulation. Guess what? They're going to be worth a whole lot of money on the on the private sale market. Which so this is why they're trying to get a registration of them, and everyone knows they want to register them so that eventually they can take them from you.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And that this is where it would be more honest if we had an actual gun control debate, and Democrats would just come out and say our goal is not to chip away and eventually say, okay, you can keep the rest of these guns. It's to chip away until there's nothing.
It's crazy. I have all these friends I know, Clay, who are telling me that, you know, they had a couple pistol braces, but, you know, they fell out the back of the pickup truck in the woods. They never saw them again.
Yeah.
Or their pistol brace, they were out, you know, bass fishing, and then the pistol brace just kind of tipped over, and, oh, they don't know where they are now. So that's what they're going to be up against if they keep this rule going anyway. But, no, this is tyranny from anti-Second Amendment lunatics in Biden's ATF.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, hey, I'm covered, no worries. Not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance.
And that can be a lot of money for your family, but how do you know you're not being overbilled? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
So unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate?
HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance.
When your medical claim comes in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million.
Bottom line, insurance isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it before you see another healthcare provider. HealthLock.com. HealthLock.com.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Oh, my goodness. You never know when you bring up stone penises what the reaction's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Clay Travis. I probably didn't expect that open either. I'm Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are sent me this story, and I can't believe this is real. Buck, a principal in Tallahassee, which is the capital, obviously, of Florida, was pushed out of her school, and I'm reading from the Daily Mail, a Tallahassee charter school principal has been forced to resign after parents complained about a sixth grade art history lesson claiming that Michelangelo's statue of David was pornographic. And they forced her to resign because this was said to be pornographic. Now, I just came back from Italy. I just went into Florence, into the great museum there. It's also a replica of this statue is standing in one of the main plazas in Florence. This is an example, Buck, of, I think, parents wildly overreact. We can talk about whether you should be taught about gender identity, but in an art history course to be forcing a principal to resign because they showed you one of the most famous sculptures in the history of the world, this is crazy.
I do recall going to a Jesuit school where we had an art history component and a history of the church component. So on the one hand, we were learning about the Council of Trent in 1563, which ruled that lascivious paintings and this is what and sculptures in particular.
Vatican.
I missed the first. I'm talking about the 16th century. You're talking about who in the 19th
century? One of the popes in Vatican City went around and put in, like, removed penises and or covered them, like literally chipped them off the sculptures because he didn't want there to be exposed penises in Vatican City.
Could you? I mean, I'm just not to get too off track here. That was someone's job who was probably aspiring to be Michelangelo himself.
That is a good point.
Hey, I have to chip away at the,
That is a great point. He probably went home and bragged to his parents, hey, I'm now in charge of sculptures in the Vatican City. And mom was like, we're going to make special pasta. This is the girl. What are you going to be doing? And then he was like, well, for the next decade, I'm just chopping penises off of, historic statues. Like, that was his job. And I hope he lied to his mom. And didn't tell her that was his actual job at the Vatican.
So that we know that there was a period of time where specifically the Catholic Church was opposed to this, and this is why you see. And the whole thing is quite ridiculous when you think about it, like putting a fig leaf in front of it. What is this? Who is this saving, or what is this doing? I can't imagine what these parents, I don't know what to say about this. I mean, if you go all throughout the artistic world, and I mean classical.
Oh, like, yeah, of course.
The art that people generally agree is beautiful and to be elevated, not, you know, some of the stuff that we've seen in the modern era, which I won't talk about right now. But obviously, Clay, there's little cherubs running around, you know, not running. They're actually flying with little wings and paintings. You just got back from Italy. This is all over the place. I think these parents are wrong.
Yeah.
I think these parents are wrong. I don't know what else to say. If, you know,
sixth graders, sixth grade, whatever age, my 8-year old's like, you know, in second grade, noticing the exposed penises and all the artwork. This is crazy. And they forced the principal to resign. I mean, this is art history. Like, whatever you think about the sculpture and its value, it is one of the most famous pieces of
air. What are you going to do? You're going to pixelate it up on the screen? You know, like Michelangelo's David has an OnlyFans account. This is not a good idea.
I can't believe this is a real story. And look, you can, we started off talking in the early first hour of the show. Like, there is a wide range, I understand, of parent decisions as it pertains to what their kids can be taught. But the idea that a principal would have to resign for showing one of the most historic pieces of art in the history of the world to her art history course, this reminds me, Buck, and honestly, it kind of connects. Did you see the story? I think it was in Ohio where there was a sculpture work that was considered to be Islamophobic, I believe, and they fired the art history teacher there. It was representations in art of Muhammad.
Well, yeah, you're not within the Islamic tradition. You're not allowed to show anything, which also reminds me of the South Park episode,
correct,
which you cannot find anymore, where there was Muhammad, but he was in a bear costume.
Yes.
So they weren't actually showing Muhammad. They were showing a bear costume with Muhammad. Just
brilliant.
With Muhammad inside.
It's brilliant. But there are artistic representations of Muhammad from the 14, 15, 1600s that are pieces of art that are very famous in, and so, the professor of art history, this is in college, showed her kids that photo, and a person who was of Muslim faith in the course said it was Islamophobic, and they fired the art history teacher in college. And then there was such a blowback that they ended up apologizing and bringing her back. But this is, I mean, to me, part and parcel of the censorious culture in which we live in, where even objects of great historic relevancy are considered to be offensive. And so, I mean, can you imagine being that principal? Like, to get fired over this?
Look, this is crazy. If this is really, if there's no other context we don't know about, and this is crazy, and I would say, you know, because to think about this, you know, what are the implications of this if this were to be the new policy that if you show, we're not talking about showing, you know, pornographic material to kids. Democrats seem to always be defending the books that are very pornographic, et cetera, for small children. This is about the greatest works of art in the Western tradition. And if you can be fired for that, we're definitely losing something very precious in our society. And I sit here and I wonder what has to be done here to get the message to folks that this is not a good idea. I'm in a little bit of shock. I didn't think this was possible.
Yeah, I'm
blown away. It's Michelangelo's David.
Yeah, I know. And the reason why I brought it up was because Allie said it ties in with what I had put up about my second grader when we were literally talking about this ourselves over in Italy. I've got a sixth grader too. I can't imagine being upset if he were shown this. I mean, I can understand being a teacher and being like, hey, I don't want to show anybody naked in a sixth grade art class because the kids are going to kind of laugh and like everything else.
It strikes me that there's also the point of intent here. No one shows a statue of David to be lascivious or to be, you know, I mean, there's no intention here to do anything to pollute the minds. Gosh, it's like, this is like Socrates, pollute the minds of the youth. I mean, this is crazy.
I wanted to get this call too, by the way. We were talking about Trump and DeSantis and basically their appeal to the common man or woman. And Ronnie in Memphis, you had a story about that. I appreciate you hanging on with us. I thought this was a good story.
A friend of mine, Zach, rolled into Manhattan 3 days after 9/11, and he had a truckload of water just, you know, because everybody was sending stuff for all the people there. And he pulled up and he's sitting there and, he's waiting to get unloaded, and a big redheaded guy walks up to him and says, what do you got on there? He said, I got water. He said, well, what do you need? He said, I need help unloading. And he said the guy took off. He said he's probably wearing a $1,000 suit. He said he took off his jacket, and he looked over at his guy that works for him and said, hey, man, there's nothing wrong with you. Get your jacket off and help. He said, they're unloading, and he realized. He said, well, what's your name? He said, Donald Trump. I mean, can you imagine John Kerry? Yeah, he wouldn't even have his butler help.
So just on, I mean, that's a great story. Just on 9/11, everybody is rushing all the goods in. Your buddy's driving a truck. He happens to end up somewhere near Trump. And the next thing you know, Trump
introduced him.
Remember when, thank you so much for calling in. Yeah. Remember when Jimmy, which one? Not Kimmel, the mean one. Who's the other one?
Fallon.
Fallon. Jimmy Fallon tussled Trump's hair a little bit.
Basically destroyed Jimmy Fallon's career.
And the Democrats completely lost their minds. It's such a minor thing. Why did they completely lose their minds over that? Because it was a visualization of the connection that this guy was able to have with everyday people who were open to it, who were willing to not believe the propaganda that he was such a monster. And it was a moment that showed something about Trump that the Democrats were desperate to suppress at all costs.
And that's,
otherwise it was so minor. It was like, it was nothing.
And that's what you were talking about for Trump. What I think he is wildly underrated on is for a billionaire who is from New York City, he is able to connect with the common man maybe better than almost anybody in, what, 40 years, 50 years from a political perspective. If you look at the base of Trump support, it is truck drivers, right? It is the average middle America guy out there all over the country, which is why I said he's way better when he gets outside of Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago's beautiful. It's extraordinary. You and I have been there. We've met with Trump there. But Trump wins when he's in the McDonald's in East Palestine or an ice cream shop in South Carolina because of his ability to connect with all those people in that shop. Trump also wins because I think he's got pretty good sense of testosterone. You know who doesn't have a good sense of testosterone? How about our buddy Joe Biden and anybody who's basically representing the Democratic Party right now? I'm in New York City today. Got in last night, NCAA basketball games, Madison Square Garden. Great athleticism on display. Unfortunately, better performance from FAU than my University of Tennessee team. And by the way, if you're a Kansas State fan, congratulations to you guys. You played a whale of a game against Michigan State. You know what all those guys on the court shared in common? Absolutely massive levels of testosterone, of energy, of physical vigor. These dudes are badasses. And maybe you're not in your 20s. Maybe you don't have the energy you had when you were in your early 20s. Maybe you're past your athletic prime, like most of us are. But you still probably need a lot of energy. Chase around those grandkids. Chase around those kids. Perform at the highest possible level that you can at your job. How about checking out Chalk? It is all natural testosterone replacement. Again, all natural. They can see your testosterone levels boosted by up to 20% after 3 months. Just one of the many benefits you're going to get as a part of their male vitality stack, which will hook you up. You can learn more about Chalk products online at chalk.com. That's chok.com. If you sign up now and go to chalk.com and use my name, you'll start feeling better. Hey, maybe you'll even be able to dunk on life with thanks to all the testosterone that you'll have naturally.
I'm live. Catch up on any part of the show you might have missed. Stay current with what Clay and Buck are saying on TV. Find the Clay and Buck app in your app store and make it part of your day.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it'll get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/clay.